Here we are at the Wax Museum. I love wax. There's all types of wax, you know. They don't just make it from bees. You can make it from turtles, too. This isn't a museum about wax.
Yeah, you're thinking of the paraffin experience. The hands-on Waxplorium.
Yeah, this is not the Waxplorium. This is a museum of statues made out of wax. They are very lifelike.
How lifelike? Do they have B.O.?
No, of course not.
I hear they're made entirely of wax except for the inside of the ears, which have a tiny bit of human flesh in there.
Very, very funny. These are artistically, painstakingly crafted likenesses of famous people throughout history.
Wearing waxy clothes.
No, the clothes aren't wax.
Well, that's cheating a bit. Like making a marble statue and then buying a TJ Maxx coat or something.
Look, it's a great way to experience history by getting to see the characters close up. They have some fun celebrity ones, too.
Like who?
Well, let's see. I have a brochure. Like Irene Ryan.
Granny? From the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yes, but in this museum, she's in the Pippin exhibit with Ben Vereen.
Interesting.
Well, let's just go in and have a look around.
They have horror movies based on these places.
Anywhere fun is a horror movie setting. They like crapping on your sense of security.
Hi. We'd like 3 tickets to the Wax Museum.
Oh, you would you? My day couldn't get any more exciting. 2 adults and 1 child.
Hey!
$10 each for the adults and 2 for the child.
Pay the man, Daddy.
Here.
Just press the button for each exhibit for the tedious recording of spurious historical information. Enjoy your journey through time, gentlemen. And no touching.
Can we touch each other?
Here, each of you take a guide as well. Let's start here with prehistory.
Press the button.
It is the dawn of time. There is a new creature on the face of the earth. His name is man. Our ancestor here. He is Anthropomorphous Homo Spicoptus, fending for himself on the grassy plains of Africa, stalking prey and stalked by predators. Watch out, there's a saber tooth.
Joe, Jesus, that scared the daylights out of me.
That statue looks familiar.
Yeah, it looks too ugly to be a real caveman.
Oh, my face has character.
Gunther, what are you doing here?
I got a job here, but I broke the caveman statue. So now the boss is making me stand here. Any questions about prehistory?
No, we're good.
Ooh, then enjoy the museum.
Thanks, Gunther. Let's see, what's next?
The Bible. Walk through the Bible.
Can't. Allergic to dust mites.
No, you don't literally walk through a Bible.
Ooh, look at this one.
Man, what is going on there?
That dude is stabbing that lovemaking couple with a spear.
It says it's the Pinchas the Zealot exhibit. The people had defied God, and there was disease plaguing the people because they were having sexual relations with other tribes. Here, Pinchas rams through with a spear the Israelite prince Zimri and the Midianite princess Cosby.
I beg your pardon?
What? Is this the Bible?
Cosby is in the Bible?
Numbers.
Right, but not in all Bibles.
No, this is from the Book of Numbers.
You don't hear that story much.
Yeah, it's kind of a difficult message.
Pinchas looks like Michael J. Pollan.
He does!
Oh, here's the Middle Ages. Let's look at this, you guys.
Ooh, Middle Ages, like you're 50. Scary times.
I bet the ear hair is super realistic.
No, it's medieval times, you guys. The next exhibit is 1160 in Germany. Goliardic poets writing the Carmina Burana.
Wow. Look at them sitting there writing.
Yeah. Kind of a letdown after the graphic biblical sex murder.
Yeah, but the poetry they're writing is very provocative.
I bet.
Speaking of poetry, look, you guys, it's Gertrude Stein in Paris.
Next to the Middle Ages?
For a time traveler, you're surprisingly linear.
Man, that's a pretty good likeness.
Press the button.
If I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Would he like it? Would Napoleon? Would Napoleon?
Hit it. It's stuck.
Would he
it
like
won't
it?
Move.
It's
if not
Napoleon,
stuck, you guys.
If I told him, if I told
we'll
him,
hit it again.
Napoleon.
I can't. It's
would
stuck
like
down.
It
I can't
him,
pry it up.
If I told him, if Napoleon,
pull it up with something.
Would he like
I can't
it?
Get
if Napoleon,
a grip.
If Napoleon,
use wax.
If I told him,
here, use
if
Gertrude's
I told
finger.
Him, Napoleon, if
man,
Napoleon,
you just
if
broke
I
off
him,
Gertrude's finger.
If I told him, would he
whatever.
Like it?
She only had 9 fingers anyway. Mash
now.
It on the button and pull
not
it up
now.
Like it's a potato
and
in
now.
Like an electric
now.
Socket.
Exactly
it's not
as kings.
Guys, let's
feeling
just get out of here.
Full for it. Exactitude.
Hardy, it's Whitman.
Oh, I love Whitman. Hey, that doesn't look right.
It's Walt Whitman's brother, George Washington Whitman.
What did he do?
It says he was a soldier in the Civil War. He wrote letters to Walt.
Push the button.
May 15th. My dearest Walt, I am well and hearty. My health is agreeable, and though often finding myself without the means to acquire a proper job of lamb, I am reasonably well.
Very interesting.
June 3rd. Dearest Walt, I am well and hearty. The day finds
me
in need of some new undergarments.
Where's the exciting stuff? I want to see torture devices of the Catholic Inquisition.
As I do sign myself,
I want to see Lizzie Borden. She gave her mom some wax.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks.
You guys, Hall of TV, fun your favorite shows from TV.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Oh, man, I can't wait. What's this one? What's the super?
American sitcom television series, June 1972 to August 1972.
I have no memory of this.
Well, it wasn't on very long.
Oh, it's Clemenza from Godfather.
Hey, Richard Castellano.
And Bruno Kirby.
I don't think this was a show.
It says it was.
No, man, this is some Berenstain Shazam nonsense.
Where are the favorite shows of my youth?
Look, it's Holmes and Yo-Yo.
What?
Holmes and Yo-Yo, check it out.
Well, that doesn't super look like John Shuck, but kudos.
Hey, you guys, it's Art Carney.
Art Carney? That could only mean one thing.
Lanigan's rabbi.
You know, the original rabbi was Stuart Margolin.
I did not know that.
True, though. You know, why are there no world figures here?
What do you mean?
Well, I notice there's a lot of Western European figures, but where's the rest of the world?
Maybe in the world section? It says here, join Chandragupta, Akhenaten, Lao Tzu, and Haile Selassie as they sit around the living room set from All in the Family and tell their stories.
Well, that's not really what I had in mind. I thought maybe you could use these figures to educate.
Something I learned today is that a lot of our ancestors had incomplete or false nostrils.
I noticed that too, and no ear hair.
But they look so real. And then again, not.
You know what the Uncanny Valley is?
Yeah, it's fake salad dressing that gives you the creeps. Scientists have discovered that if, say, Thousand Island dressing looks too real, it makes people afraid.
Hey, look at this, you guys.
Hitler reacts to map.
That's not Hitler.
Well, it kind of looks familiar, though.
It's Mo.
It is Mo.
It's Mo from the Three Stooges, and they just put a mustache on him.
Yeah, look at the map.
I know. It's a comedy map with joke country names like He Ran and She Ran.
And Jerkola.
You know, I feel like they just had the statues lying around and the exhibits were an afterthought. Well, hey, you guys, look at this. It says, all these statues are from the J.C. Penney Vincent Price wax figure collection. In the 1960s, Vincent Price and J.C. Penney teamed up to offer high-quality wax figures for their customers.
Well, I remember. My grandparents had a Merv Griffin in their Florida room.
I think we all had that growing up. My grandma had a Patio Joey Bishop.
You guys, it says here there's a jazz section.
Oh, man, this'll be rich. I'm dreading it.
Look at it. Oh, my word.
That looks just like Eric Dolphy.
And it's Elmo and Bertha Hope.
And Billie Holiday.
And Jackie Byard.
And Clifford Brown. Hardy, what the heck? This is amazing.
I had no idea this was here, guys.
It's my secret collection.
Oh, my gosh, you startled me. Hello.
Hello. I'm Mr. Wayne, and this is my art museum.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wayne.
I see you are admiring my jazz wax collection.
You have not only the greats here, but some figures who are underappreciated.
Thank you for noticing. So you are also interested in the corporeal likenesses of jazz musicians as well?
Well, mainly their music.
Oh. Well, there is a whole other dimension of appreciation. Their physical appearances. Here, let's look at Roland Kirk.
You know, I used to collect records just for the album cover artwork. How is this different?
Oh, it's different, brother.
I'll say.
Yeah, it's a little different.
You want to see something really different? Jazz Wax Army, seize these men.
Hardy, the wax musicians, they're alive.
Wow.
Well, maybe we should get out of here, guys. Guys.
Run, Hardy.
Grab him, Wax Mingus.
Guys, they got me.
All right. Anything you need us to do?
Well, yeah, save me.
Okay. How?
What?
How?
But she says how.
I ask how, you mean.
What?
Hang on a second.
No, he knows.
What?
Butchie asks how.
How what?
How what?
Save him.
How save you?
Just attack the statues.
Shouldn't they just snap in half like Havdalah candles?
No, I think they're made of something else.
I bet they're actually vinyl and not literally wax.
That's a good point. Well, how do you wreck vinyl? Normal wear and tear? Kids? No idea.
You heat it up in a hot car.
You mean?
I mean you heat it up in a hot car. But we haven't got a big enough car.
You nut. We just turn up the heat in the museum.
Oh, that's a good plan.
He's dead, you know.
What?
Your friend is dead.
You took too long deciding on a plan.
Yeah, well, all right.
We enjoyed your museum.
Oh, you're not going anywhere.
Oh, my friends, do you want your dreams to come true? You don't know how to answer that, because there's two types of dreams. There are the type of dreams we have when we fall asleep, the kind you can't control, the unconscious kind, where you think, oh, I'm using the bathroom in a Nixon mask or something. And then there's the kind of dreams we have where they're really hopes or desires or fantasies. I wish I had a little sandwich shop where my friends could come and boss me around and I could make them paninis. That's another kind of dream. Those are the kind that we want to come true. And the other, that's a mixed bag. Sometimes we do. We'd like to mix them up. And lucid dream, that's where you tell your brain what you want to dream at night. Because it seems so realistic, doesn't it? Just like the Star Trek holodeck. Say, if I could only impose that fantasy on there. Tonight I'm going to be a cowboy in the Old West. It's going to be fun. But it doesn't work that way. Your brain has other ideas. Say, no, no, no. You're going to be the top half of you as a nun and the bottom half is a shopping cart and you're going to fly into hell or something. That's what your brain has in mind. Then you have other desires. The conscious desires. Say, I want to have a little bakery or I want to have a business hauling off dead things or whatever. Cleaning up after someone has been killed. Or something. That is a job. And maybe that's your dream. And people come to me every day and they say, this is a lie, I have to tell you, but no, this is just figuratively speaking, and say to me, ask me, Hardy, how do I make my dreams come true? And I say, well, there's a couple of ways to approach that problem. And one of them is you just want that question to go away. So maybe the question isn't, how do I make my dreams come true, but do I need to? And you can examine your dream, and perhaps, and a lot of the times it is, a stupid dream. And you say, well, I don't have to do it, because it's dumb. Like, for instance, I want to have a wax museum. Now, think about it for about 10 seconds, and you realize it's a dumb dream. Now, a lot of people encourage you, say, oh, you should fulfill all your fantasies. Go ahead and have your wax museum. And they mean it a little bit, but they're not thinking it through either. Because it's really not their place. You know, if it is something that you are passionate about, I'm passionate about wax figures of mostly white Western people in history. And when I say history, I mean specifically European history. All right, well, that's, you do what you want. But see, my dreams that I had as a child, my desires have changed over time as I've learned more. Like, for instance, now, I've learned a couple things. I wanted to be a dentist. I think because I liked my dentist so much. And I said, well, what do I really like about the dentist? You know, what do I want to be about the dentist? Then I found out two things. One, it's harder than I thought, and I'm not smart, and so it was completely ruled out. The other thing is, maybe it's not what I want to do. Maybe I'm a more creative type. And maybe the thing that I enjoyed about the dentist was just having some fella, some veteran with huge, meaty hands in my mouth and the taste of artificial grape. That could have been that. And then as you get older, you learn more about your dreams. Sometimes you're living your dream. It's more, your life is more like the unconscious type. And so, you know, I thought I was going to be, I'd have my own insurance business and I'd have a pool with all sorts of people in it, and nude celebrities and everything, but that didn't work out that way.
I just have my plain old wife who I love and my family and my children and everything in a large circle of influence, and I'm well respected and I'm, you know, oh, it's, whoops. Well, that's a dream I didn't even know I had. And you're already living it. Now, maybe your life is miserable. Say, my life is a little bit miserable, Hardy. It was a way off the mark that I thought it'd be, and I'm not living any kind of dream.
Well, you know, the kind of dreams that you have unconsciously, the weird ones, they're kind of good in their own way, too.
Oh, it's an experience, so you're having it. My recommendation is this: when you're having a dream, keep dreaming. Why not? What's the alternative? To not be dreaming? And what's the alternative to striving? Not striving, which is also good. That could be good, too. Oh, I'll tell you right now, if your dream is a restaurant, don't do it. I don't know where that comes from. Bless you. But I'm just saving you some misery. I'm not going to listen to you, Hardy. Go ahead. Don't. Don't. But you should see the new Michael Keaton movie about McDonald's or something. I don't know. Don't base your life on movies or anything. If I did, what would I base my... What's a famous movie about broadcasting or something? Good Morning, Vietnam? I never wanted to say good morning. I'm in enemy territory and anything. That wasn't what I wanted. Is there some sort of movie, inspirational movie about the radio heroes in my life? I don't know. I don't know who they are because no one ever showed me. But I'm sure they're out there. Maybe now is the time to make a special movie about somebody from radio's past. Like the fella Jim, one of them. A lot of them are regional. Say, oh, I remember the fella I had growing up, Crazy Charlie, out there in Bobersville. And he'd come on the radio and go, I'm crazy, I want to play crazy records. And he would get out records and he'd play all sorts of music that was crazy. Here it is, the next crazy record. He put it on, ding, dong, and it was really just traditional Asian music. And so people would say, that's nuts, what is that? And they'll go, it's just some sort of harp or something. That's what's one man's crazy is another person's boring classical music. How about that? Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. The world is like a quilt that one would get at a shop in the country, made by hand. Yes, the shop and the quilt, made by hand, made by people living in cabins. Why are they living in cabins? I don't know. By choice? Well, they say it's by choice, but what? They've chosen poverty? I don't know, man. I'm romanticizing it. Why are you doing this to me? But they have these fine quilts, and they are a tapestry, and they are made of they are ripped from the fabric of all mankind. All the cultures of the world come together and are reduced to a little patch there on the quilt. And what's the purpose of that quilt after we put the batting in, after we have quilted it? The quilting part is not making the blanket, as was explained to me. It's doing those tiny stitches and making a pattern of puffiness in your life with stitches. So what you do is you take the fabric of your existence and then you slap it together, and in it you put something, I don't know, some chopped up animal, or don't do that, or some polyester, some synthetic thing made of a fossil fuel that now it looks like cotton candy. Put that in there. And then you take your needle and you make a pattern, a little puffy pattern like that, just like it was bumps on the back of a carbuncular ogre, but it's very soft, and under it we find joy and comfort. And those are the things we make, and those are crafts. Those are called crafts. And so for some of us, a dream is to have a little crafting place like that, where people can drop by. Oh, I think it's because we crave human contact. Don't you think so? That's why I come to this place. Where is it? It's a place for lonely people. It is a lonely people place. It's interesting that the state government has put up money to have this little place where lonely people can come and speak to one another. And I notice that a lot of the time the dynamic is there'll be like, five lonely, quiet people to one lonely, talkative one. And the talkative one will be chatting away, and the other ones will just be content because they're in the presence of others, and they don't need to talk or dominate the conversation. Only the ass does. I'm the ass. Oh, you're not ass, Hardy. But I'm an ass in this way. The donkey, does it not bray? Yes? Which point? The donkey, does it not bray? Yes, it does bray. But why? Well, we do not know. Perhaps it's communicating something to us. Like, I am not going down this hill. Y'all are crazy. I don't want to go down into the canyon. Is that an ass? An ass is a symbol in Christian and Jewish theology. We are reminded of Balaam, who is riding on his ass, a donkey. I love just like saying it, because it's like the human bottom, the human buttocks, the glorious human buttocks, which you're also obsessed with. But we're talking about a donkey, but there's no reason we shouldn't slip in some giggles. So Balaam is riding upon his ass to go curse the Israelites, as he has been instructed to do by Balak. But he's going down the road there, and the donkey stops because it sees an angel of the Lord in the road that's going to smite them dead with an angelic sword. And so the donkey's like, I'm not going forward. I do not have a dog in this fight. Balaam is a mercenary prophet off to curse the people. And he's just riding upon me. I am an ass being used. But one thing I will not do is I will not cross the path of an angel. And so he stops. And Balaam gets off of his ass and he says, you move. And he starts beating the donkey. And so the angel gives the donkey the power of speech. And so badly want to do the Eddie Murphy Shrek donkey voice, but I won't. But the donkey says, stop beating me, Balaam. Balaam says, it's a talking animal. It's one of the first in the Bible, talking animal, Balaam's donkey. So I will not go forward. I will not. I need to speak up. Though I am an ass, I'm going to raise my voice because you're asking me to defy an angel. Just to curse, because you want to curse the people. For your own personal gain and vendetta, Balaam. Big, heavy, old, nasty, mercenary Balaam. Off to curse the people. You're not going to ride on me. And the angel has given me the power of speech to stand up and say, I refuse to take you on this mission of vengeance. I will not transport you, Balaam. I'm an ass. Are you an ass, my friend? Do you dream of being an ass? I have a lot. I have those ass dreams, as we all do. And you know, they ride upon a donkey in the New Testament as well, in the Christian theology. Always this donkey. Who is it? And we know now from Pinocchio that it's boys that have been tempted to smoke cigars, and now they're being enslaved. Well, we don't know that, but it could be. I would just like you to entertain different thoughts. Some of them are malevolent. You shouldn't have put an ad on Facebook for your party then, if you didn't want to entertain all thoughts. That's why you have to be a little bit exclusive. Let all things in your head, sometimes, but be vigilant. Always have a little bouncer in there. Does it have to be little? No, get a big old one would be good. And a thought comes in your head and it lingers too long and it's malevolent, Krav Maga, it's butt out there, right out the, kick it out the ear hole, bum rush it. I can't believe we're together, you and I. I can't believe that we're able to share this ride on this magical donkey. And it's taking us to our dreams. Tell me more about pooing into this Nixon mask. Is that a real dream? No, it just popped into my head. Isn't that crazy? Now, the imagination, it all comes from the same brain that's also not very imaginative often. When is it not very imaginative? When it's doing implicit memory, when you're recalling the process of, say, making your coffee in the morning. Watch yourself as you just go about doing a task, one thing after another, step by step, inch by inch. Niagara Falls. I think you know what I'm talking about. That's... Some of you have been psychologically programmed. There has been an undertaking in this country by such people as Sherwood Schwartz to plant ideas into your subconsciousness using such sitcom devices as Gilligan's Island and Brady Bunch. And you do not know that they've been used for propagandistic purposes.
And so there are little words in there. Someday somebody's going to say them in the right order on the radio, and you're going to go, "Yes, master," like that, in a robot voice. "Yes, I will speak like this."
You know what I always thought about speaking like this?
That robot voice?
I don't know where it comes from. But I have this funny suspicion, because the robot voice is very close to the stage direction for the voice of Ubu, King Ubu, in Alfred Jarry's play, Ubu Whirl. Has a staccato mechanical voice like this.
"I am Ubu," like that.
Just like the Coneheads on Saturday Night Live are doing Ubu. They must have seen a play in college.
I'm Ubu.
But they're really doing that. That's what the Coneheads on Saturday Night Live is. Right? We all know that. We all know everybody's ripping off Ubu, Zippy, everybody. It's Ubu Head.
"Then I speak like this."
And that is our Lord Ubu. And we have moved into his age. Oh, we have now moved into his age.
I'm no kind of prophet. I'm no kind of prophet, but I'll tell you one thing. It doesn't take any special vision to see the spiral on the belly of the demons. And I would love to lead you forward in a dream of love and justice and compassion, where we're wearing beautiful flowing white robes and we're defeating our enemies. But look at us. Look in the mirror. We got big old ears. Oh, we're just animals. Oh, and we recognize it. Oh, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we can still defeat a cursing enemy who seems all-powerful to us. Oh, Balaam. I say, well, you're giving an old-fashioned sermon, it sounds like. I don't mean to. Go ahead. Next person talk. I know we're just sitting here. I don't mean to tell you. I'm a goofball. I've been actually diagnosed as clinically goofballish or whatever the word is. I don't really know. I've been told that if somebody could crack my spine and everything would go back in place and I wouldn't think like this anymore. I think everybody believes their imagination is kind of crazy and everything, but it's really pretty ordinary. If it wasn't, we'd all be making great art, wouldn't we? But when we go to do it, when we actually go to express ourselves, we see, uh-oh, I thought there's a lot more there. I did. I say, I'm going to empty my heart onto this paper. And it's going to produce the most beautiful poem you've ever seen. Oh, my gosh, it's trite and awful. What happened there? I thought there was more in the... looked like a peanut butter jar. I thought it was full, but there was only peanut butter on the edges, and there's nothing in the middle there. Gosh, I thought more of myself than that. Now I think very little of myself. Could you strike a happy medium?
Come on. Get there. Say it's all. What I have is enough. What am I greedy for peanut butter? Some people are allergic to it. Could kill some folks.
I think what we have is beautiful, or if it's not, I'll help you.
That's the thing. I think that the missing part of your life is me. You're the other person. The missing part of my life is you. And how are we supposed to do it? Of course you feel incomplete. We're not all working together. I don't know where we got this idea that everybody should be at each other's throats or against one another or in competition for pleasure and for well-being and for joy. And we're competing for the joy. And it's just joy is like an old man walking down the street. What's he got in his pocket?
He's got a full poke of candy. Here, kids, come get one. That's not candy, mister. That's a lozenge. What? That's a lozenge, not candy. It's not proper for children. Hang on, let me look at it. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a lozenge. Here's the candy over here. All right, it's coffee candy. You want it or not? Oh, I'm handing out candy to you.
Oh, I'm suspicious of it because I believe people are malevolent. And in their candy will be poison. How do I know there is no poison in your candy? You do not. Suck it and find out. Is what I say if there's a lozenge or something. If it tastes bad, it tastes medicinal. Spit it out immediately. It's making my mouth numb. Spit it out. But you will not know, and I'm talking about ideas, not literally candy. Oh, Lord, do not put food in your mouth or something like that you don't know where it's been. Gosh, I'm talking about
ideas now. Do I need to be lit? I guess so. Oh, beg your pardon. I'm so sorry. This is why I'm not professional. Do you know you got to get a license to teach? Did you know that? I think that's interesting. What's that all about? There's some things you don't need a license for. To teach? That almost seems scary. What do you mean?
Well, we want to make sure that you're teaching the right thing.
Okay, that's kind of weird and everything. But all right.
Well, you're going to be around children.
No, I'm not. I'm not, though. Can I just...
Well, you can freelance.
Okay.
As long as it's not a school.
All right. Oh, cool. All right. I thought I had to get one just to...
No.
So I can teach somebody how to tie knots or something.
Yes. What are you, crazy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got it all wrong. I like to... The problem is I like to have some kind of blanket philosophy, and it's not that easy. Sometimes I got to adjust things as people come to me and correct me. And I would like to be consistent, and I would like to always say, no, 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 my philosophy's consistent. But in fact, I don't mind being corrected, and people adjust me, and I learn, and I improve and go on. I don't understand this need, this drive to be right or to be the superior, to be the one who is always correct or something, even if it's a big lie.
Hi, I'm Hardy White. And now my voice
is getting so, it's getting even lower close to the microphone.
Because I'm going to be truthful with you now. Because I'm not, before I was lying, now I'm not going to.
No, I can't even attest to that. Because the human heart, I believe, compulsively lies like a child. Because the first thing it is scared, right? That's why your child lies. Sometimes they wouldn't if they thought it was no consequence, probably. So did you take the jelly? No. Are you sure? Yes. If he didn't think you were going to whoop him for taking the jelly, he might not even lie. Yeah, I took the jelly. You want some? Like that.
Oh, why do we always scared of one another? I think is why we hide from one another. Behind the patina, it's a patina of lies.
How did it get there?
Well, just like any patina, from people rubbing their hands on it or sitting on it.
How does an old chair get patina on it? People sitting on, ew.
Yes.
Ew.
Right.
Ew, right, that's what it is. It's human, it's been human oiled. But the seat, I know. People, I guess, got dirty pants and all through the years. But on the Antiques Roadshow, if they get a chair on there and you've stripped it and cleaned it, they don't like that. They go, no, we want seat of the pants dirt on the chair. And that's what makes it worth something. We like to see a build-up on it. A waxy build-up on the floor can be like amber in the forest. What is it trapped? What is the waxy build-up trapped? Look, it's trapped an ancient mosquito. We could go back to, like, your meemaw's double wide, go into the waxy buildup on her linoleum kitchen floor, go down there and get a mosquito, and yes, possibly get some of your meemaw's DNA and bring her back as a child. And she would have no memory of you. It would just be like somebody who looked like your grandma, be like a twin or something. And you could wait, and if you waited 80 years, there she would be. So it's not that kind of clone. We can't speed up the aging process. Sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Did you think we'd be able to make another meemaw right away?
Yes. No, no. We're going to make a little baby.
Yeah, you won't even be here by the time it looks like the woman you remember. I'm so sorry. I thought you knew how cloning worked. I'm so sorry. We got your hopes up for so long.
Oh, our hopes are set in amber like it's the blood of a long-dead creature. I'm sure that we can let it out in the future. There are people on other planets who have found the satellite on which we have inscribed a picture of naked people and all sorts of, I don't know what we wrote next to it, some sort of like, I never thought this would happen to me, but my first year in college, there it is, and then songs we like, all on this picture. What are aliens going to think?
I wonder when the second issue comes out.
No, oh, you'll be so disappointed. Aliens, it was a one-off. There's only one. We send it out once, as if nothing's going to change.
But, you know, some of the music on that is already dated, I think. They had, what was on? I don't even know what year to go out, in the 70s or something? So who knows what's on it? Some 70s song. I know what they put. They put My Name Is Playground in My Mind. That's what they put. My name is Michael. I got a nickel. I got a nickel. Shiny and new. I'm gonna send it out into space. Gonna confuse you two.
Us two aliens who are looking at this nickel. What is this? Are we being threatened by another race? Or is it just Jefferson upon a coin?
We do not know. Everything we sent. Why did they inscribe it in metal, too? I guess because in space, I don't know, the paper's not going to break down in space, is it? Are we thinking?
I'm always thinking. I sound like an observational comedian.
I never want to be like that to you. I never want you to think that just noticing should always be funny, that you're always noticing funny things. You can notice important things or sad things. You can notice things about people that are beautiful. You know, you don't have to always notice the ironic and the comic all the time. Noticing, observing can be for all sorts of reasons. Like you might cut a hole in a wall and observe the couple next door. Why? Because you're with East German secret police. Or you're just curious about people. I remember reading that about, it was a guy, I think he owned a hotel or something, and he was a voyeur, and he would look in people's rooms. But I guess they interviewed him, and his reasons, I mean, you're going to go, major creepy. Well, yes, just put that aside for a moment and look at the subtlety of what he did. He was very, very curious about other people. What other people were doing in private, what they were reluctant to tell anybody, whether it's private. I know, I'm making a broader point, that we're all so curious about one another. What are you doing when you think no one's watching? What are you thinking? We all want to know, because we're all so scared that it's just us. We're all so frightened that we're the only one who might think that or do that, even in the privacy of our own minds. We don't want to share. Some people, it might be self-doubt. I don't want anybody to know that I have doubt. You know, you're a pilot. You're flying a plane. I don't want anybody to ever know that I just feel like an idiot sometimes. I don't even know what I'm doing, and then I get scared every time I land. I've used that analogy before, and it always makes me always think, oh, I hope that's not the case. But yes, who knows? Everything, people are supremely confident even. Who knows what's really going on in their heart? I do. I'm sorry. I have, years ago, a friend gave me this thing that allows you to see through everyone's eyes or into their brains and everything like that. And I admit I've abused it over the years. But after you get it out of your system where you go, oh, I'm going to manipulate the whole world, you think, you know what? I'm just going to sort of try to use it to make the world better, bless other people by letting them, each one of them knows, telling everyone, oh, it's all of us, y'all. We're all crazy and sad and all those scared and everything, I believe. I've seen it in everybody, even the ones who aren't. And you think they aren't, man, I tell you what, deep in their psyche, you can say, well, I'm watching them lay there and die bravely. And I'm not seeing anything fear. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, 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 ho. Everybody is fighting a mental war. Wicked, wicked, do, 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 deep within their psyche. Giggity, dee, dee, dee. They're doing emotional kung fu. Do, 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 do. With their hopes and desires. Oh, my friend. I hope that I am some sort of radio friend to you. In the old tradition of radio, when people used to turn it on and they'd say, what's this thing? Is it a demon? It's a sort of demon and it's a sort of angel. I would love to be able to use it to help you, make you feel a little better, to help you pass the time. So I have to. I got to take this long ride and I got to look like I'm doing something. Earbuds in, hearty on. I will try to at least keep you entertained. You know? And you know how it is. If you're passing the time, even eavesdropping on the conversation on the plane next to you is entertainment. You might not pay for it. all right, on a podcast, but you'd certainly listen to the rich lady next to you talking to the rugby coach.
And then, exactly, but if you're really bored, it's interesting. And you think, oh, and then you're looking at, you're not necessarily laughing, you're thinking all the things. Oh my gosh, is that person, that person made me laugh, now I hate them. Now they've charmed me, now I hate them. Oh, it's a beautiful ride. And it comes from observing and listening. And I hope that you're listening to me and I've said something valuable to you. Say, before this show, I didn't know anything about medieval Latin poetry. Goliardic poetry. And I still don't. Yes, but now you might look it up. I think that's what I call the Monty Python approach to intellectualism. Is you just drop little, you drop references like that, and then people go look it up, and they actually learn something. You don't understand it yourself. You're just being pretentious. I'm just being a smart aleck schoolboy in the Alfred Jerry vein. Are you in Alfred Jerry's veins? No, I wouldn't want to be in those veins. Woo! Are you in any way like him? No, I'm no way like him. I would never whip out a pistol in a cafe. I would never huff ether. Would you never huff ether? You're upon the ether. The radio is upon the ether. They always describe it that way, that my sound, my voice is going out upon the ether, the air. Oh, it's not that type. It's the type you huff. The type that causes brain damage, your show does, sort of, Hardy. Oh, indeed, maybe. But I'm just so excited to be with you today and to have a voice at all and to be in this great broadcast medium. When I say medium, it really sells itself short. It's a large. It's a broadcast large. And I think radio, of all the larges, really goes the deepest in your soul. And that is because when we don't come out of the ear canal with our eyes open, the birth canal with our eyes open. I just gave away that I'm Buddha. I hate that. I am the Buddha. I'm the historic Buddha. I came out of an ear canal. We all come out of the birth canal with our eyes shut, but our ears full of mucus. But then we hear things. And the first thing we hear is, that's from Mel Brooks. We don't hear that. First thing we hear are our own blood-curdling screams as we gasp for breath. But the second thing we realize is, well, and that goes right to a very deep part of the brain called the deep brain, or Deep Brain Project 1. Which is what I implemented when we were designing humans. Again, whoops. I'm not special. The reason I say things like that is because I'm ordinary. I couldn't be more ordinary. I'm super duper duper ordinary. I'm extra, extra, extra ordinary. No, I'm not. No, that's crazy. That's no way. Maybe I've stumbled upon something. Is it okay to both love and hate yourself? I don't know. That's for you to decide, my friend. What else is for me to decide? Everything. Isn't that amazing? This is so neat. This is a project. This is what you do. So you have the project. It's like a white sheet. Then you can put whatever you want on a white sheet of paper, not white sheet like. And you can fill in whatever. It's all you. Go ahead and put in. Now, there are lines and stuff. You can do whatever you want. Make it look like something is already there. You're not the first person. So we couldn't make it completely tabula rasa. So you can do what you want, but there's a lot of stuff has been done. So I apologize for that. It's not, you're not the first person here. It's kind of awkward, in fact, how used everything is. I'm so sorry. The underwear is, we've made fresh-ish, sort of. But everything else, the houses are all used. And yes, I believe they all still contain the smell of those who have come before us and are gone. All the great cathedrals, we go in them and does it smell like incense from the censure? Yes, but it also smells like people. People, thousands of years of people, hundreds of millions of thousands of years of people. No, that's not right. Hundreds of years of people all there and all getting into the walls. And you're shooting out molecules from under your arms all out
throughout the subway cars and into existence like that, where you make your mark. Is that all I have to leave, Hardy? Is my body odor? Isn't that enough? I mean your intellectual body odor. I don't ever know when you're being literal or not. Assume that if it's really very simplistic, that I must be talking, and certainly it must mean something complicated. I'm not. I learned how to do this from being around other people. I'm a minor bird. You know what I mean? Other people are big birds. I'm a minor bird. Not one of the big shots, not one of the majors. Just a minor bird. And I'm more or less just repeating things that I've heard in the voice in which I've heard them. And so if I heard a person being compassionate or understanding or trying to make me feel at ease or trying to bring joy to my life and they had a certain voice, why would I not say those same things back to you in that same voice?
Get out of town! Get out of town! Get out of town! Get out of town!
Just like a minor bird. And that's what I want to be. Oh, I don't want to be anything big in your life. I think we can be in both of our lives if we're very small. We can fit in there. Oh, climb on board. We'll go for a ride together on the radio. Be my friend. You are my radio friend. I don't mean that lightly. This life is a lot shorter than you think it is. Whoops, gone. One of you, I just lost one of you. Holy Moses, you all right? No, you're not all right. You're gone. Okay, back to the rest of you. I just lost one of us. It happened that quickly.
Man, you're not kidding.
I'm not kidding. This is no joke. I mean, we all have that expression, you know, you never know, life does around the corner, but I'm telling you how quickly it goes by. Time, you don't know, one, how tiny everything is, because you're tiny. And two, you don't know how quickly everything's going by because it seems kind of slow to you. Isn't that funny? I wish you could just step one, just see what I saw on this one time. And, oh my goodness, it might freak you out. But it might concentrate your mind a little bit. And you might realize that this thing that you want is happening right now. This intensity that you want is occurring in every second. This challenge, everything. All your dreams happening right now. There's no tomorrow. There is a tomorrow, but all this stuff is being delivered right now. It's your expectations that are blinding you to the wonder. You're thinking you're going to see something. Take those eyeglasses off and look at it with naked eyes, and you will see that there's lots there. You just didn't expect what you're seeing. You thought you'd come for one thing to get entertained, and nothing would entertain you. God, you thought one thing would give you love or joy, and it turns out it's some other thing that's giving you love or joy. That ever happened to you? Get to say, so, hey, y'all, come to my barn dance. Oh, Lord. Come to my hokey barn dance and my hokey group. Oh, okay. And you go, and you have fun. That's a very simplistic example. But that happens sometimes. You just have to make the choice to go. To put away those prejudices. And oh, the world is plagued by prejudices, by those who've decided not to see. And when you've decided that the world's going to look a certain way, and you've decided not to see, what you don't see is a hungry child. And what you don't see is a person in pain. You don't see an old woman suffering. You don't see a young boy lost or injured. You don't see it because you put your expectation glasses on. Now you're blind. Why would you want to do that?
I think there's things ahead I'm going to see, I expect to see. Oh, you've been misled by your travel agent. This is this path right there going to the inn. That is the tour. That is the vacation. There's nothing in the inn. It's an old empty building with a skeleton in it. Now the skeleton is cool.
But it's just an old empty building with a skeleton in it at the end. Oh, so serious, so not serious, so serious, so not serious, so important, time is so important not to waste, and it's so important to waste it. It's so important not to waste it, but waste it. It's so time we're losing. It's so important to be clear, to not be clear. It's so, what do we have? We don't, does it matter? But matters, it doesn't matter. It's urgent, and it's not urgent. Oh, right now, it's all now, and it's not now. I don't know how to be more confusing to you. I'm trying to do this. I was taught all the angels said to me, now, then try to be confusing if you can't get through with the other thing. All right, I will. First try to be funny, then try to make people cry, then be confusing, and then if all else fails, just read something. Anything? Just read anything out loud. I don't even have just whatever's within reach. It'll be something copyrighted, that something by somebody else. Then don't do that. Then make something up. Speak to them from the heart. If your voice was being heard on the radio by a lot of people or by only one person, what would you say?
Might I not sing a little song or something?
That's what people did with early recordings.
I am now going to sing a song.
Oh, you drink to me only with thine eyes,
or something like that. But I thought about it long and hard. I say, what would I say to everybody? And I say, I have nothing to say that I could be sure that would be true. I don't want you to do anything. So the only thing I could do would be to introduce myself and say, hi, I'm Hardy White. This is who, what I, no, let me scratch that. This is what I think is in my brain. And just take a look at it. And maybe it'll be of use to you. But that's all I got. And to introduce myself to you, turns out it's taking hours and hours and hours. I had no idea what was in there. It's been like emptying out a closet that I thought was small because it's narrow, but apparently it's deep. It's as deep as the deepest mine. It goes farther than the center of the earth. It is cluttered with everything I've ever noticed or thought worth noticing or worth remembering or worth saving. Things that I didn't want to remember. Things that I only needed to remember for an hour, but have now remembered for 30 years, all in this closet tucked away for safekeeping, in the anticipation that I'd be retrieving some of it, but some of it buried so deeply it's impossible for me to retrieve it. I have to go digging. It's behind something else. So if there is something in me, a story of pain or loss or something, it might be behind some big piece of nonsense, like slipping on a banana peel or something like that, or blood, or swallowing blood after having a tooth out. Ugh, is it there? Is it really there? I don't know. I had to look. When people die and they don't have any heirs, it is my understanding that sometimes the officials will send in people to investigate the belongings of that intestate individual and see if they have any clues there to possible relationships, whether they be relatives or friends. And so they investigate that person's life by going through all the things they have collected. They're only really looking for one thing, and that's a legal heir or something they can do with these possessions, but what they're really finding out is what one life is like. It must be so enlightening for them about their own existence to see the detritus of a life with few connections. Hi, I'm Hardy White. Would you like to make more connections? You can, through my connection hotline.
Hi, you want to speak to somebody?
Sure, I'm Hardy White.
All right, well, hang on a minute.
What are we doing here?
It's a hotline.
What's a hotline for?
You're lonely, you call it up.
What? And then what?
And then we talk to you.
About what?
Psychic stuff.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll talk like, we'll make forecasts for your future.
I think that's a bad idea.
No, it all may be just positive stuff like, you can do it, and, you know, go after that job.
But what if the job's bad and you give them bad advice?
Well, they'll call back again and with the credit card number.
Oh, that seems awful to me. I don't want your money. Oh, my goodness. I don't want anything from you. I'm sorry. I apologize if I've ever tried to get anything from you. I know that's going to make me a failure in this life. I can look out right now and I look at other people's values and I say, oh my goodness, I've made a terrible mistake. My mind has been poisoned with Sunday school lessons that I took literally. I'm an idiot. I had no idea. Now I'm really unable to compete with a lot of people because I really thought a lot of those things were true. I wanted them to be true. I want you to be my brother and sister. I want us to love one another. Oh, I want us to be humble in the sight of this great and beautiful world and life. That's what I thought. I thought there was justice in right and wrong. I thought that some things made life bitter and miserable and dark for all, and that some things brought joy and lightness. That's what I thought. But now I find sometimes it's hard to compete with these other ideas, and I'm often alone without resources. I don't know what that means. Should I cling to these values or should I change who I am? Oh, forget it. I'm not going to change. I guess if I'm silly and if I'm a fool and if I'm an outcast and if I'm an ass, then I ought to embrace that ass that I am. So right now, grab it. Lame. What am I, 12? I can't stop. Grab that donkey. But do it. Embrace the silly, your idiot. And say, I'm not going to be who I'm not. And if that makes me, I'm just going to put the defenses down. If that makes me, if society then tells me that I'm weak because I'm compassionate, or if they tell me that I'm a failure because I'm not a materialist, then so be it. I can't fight it anymore. I'm not going to be who I'm not. It's like putting on underwear that doesn't fit or shoes, or mistaking a shoe for underwear and try to jam all your sensitive parts into it. Owie, don't do it. Don't do it. It's clapping time. It's clapping time with Hardy White. If you have hands that are free, please bring them up and clap them with me. Clapping brings joy, and the clapping brings heartbeats. And if you have a heartbeat that stutters, maybe it's a problem, and just syncopate the beat, and then put the go, do, do, womp up. What a dee, do, do. I wish I knew how to divide up beats like in Indian music. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 3, 2, 3. Something like that. I'm going to learn it for you. I'm going to learn it just because I want to bring blessings to your heart. I want to clap more because it makes the little jumpy thing on the recording device pop up and down too. And I like that. That also brings me joy. It brings me joy to be your friend. Am I your friend? I feel like we're friends.
Am I your friend?
Of course, Lou. You're an old dear friend.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I like to test it.
No, you don't need to do that, though.
But you should test things.
Not always. Why do you have to test everything?
So you can evaluate.
All right.
Because you need standards.
I guess.
So I test your patience.
I know you do that. That's okay, I guess.
Yeah, it's fun for me because I like giving tests.
All right, it's not fun for me necessarily.
You know, that last test you took, you bubbled it in all wrong. F.
I know, that's the thing. I think you're setting me up for failure.
I am, but that's a test too.
It might be. Friends, what are you listening to? Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White? What kind of show is that? It's just there. There you go, you've answered it. It is just your show. And it's on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County. And online at WFMU.org is all the places available to it. I'm so glad to be available to you and you to me. So my friend, please join me again next week and we will have a beautiful time together. Till then, blessings and peace.
Ah. choir, down with a blind man who lives in a home of his son. Oh, Lord, one night, great God, his son came home and said to his father,
friends, let me tell you something right now. Animals don't have heart disease. Animals don't have heart attacks. A bear cholesterol, listen to this. A bear cholesterol numbers is right at 400. Well, why doesn't a bear have heart disease and die from a heart attack? I'll tell you why. Because he produces enough vitamin C in his body to protect his blood vessel walls. Just that simple. My friends, I know what I'm doing. I do this for a living every day. I know my work.
I'm prone to wonder.